Welcome to Adventures in Artslandia. I am today enjoying a remote interview with Norman Huen, who is the newly appointed Harold and Arlene Schnitzer Associate Conductor for the Oregon Symphony.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's a real pleasure. It is so much fun to read about what you've been doing up to your arrival here in Portland. And as you told me just a moment ago, you moved here in around about September.
That's right.
How are you enjoying it?
I love it. Portland's such a great city. I kind of almost said town because it has that town feeling, you know?
Uh-huh. Yes.
But I'm really enjoying it. I bought my first bike. So that's, well, actually, my first bike that was like over $100 and I wasn't 8 years old. But
no training wheels.
No training wheels and just having a blast, taking advantage of everything that the city has to offer.
Wow, that's fantastic. And it's interesting that you came from Portland, Maine, so you seem to gravitate to Portland's.
Yeah, Portland. Over there is lobster, and here, I guess, it's salmon.
Yes, so they're both great seafood towns.
Yeah.
So I know you've got some interesting things coming up, but I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about what you have been doing up to this point. And I read a little bit on your bio. Of course, anybody who's interested in reading Norman's bio can go over to the Oregon Symphony website, which is OregonSymphony.org. And I thought it was really interesting. You've done some innovative concert programming with concerts in unique places. Can you tell us a little bit about that stuff?
Sure. So when I was in grad school, my colleague and I, we sort of thought, well, why are concerts only happening in concert halls? And this is sort of at the beginning when orchestras were thinking, well, we should take our musicians outside of the concert hall and do programs that sort of resonate with more of what the community looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So we were thinking, we'll sort of take that, we need a little marketing niche. So what we thought of is to celebrate holidays and do them in places that really resonate with those holidays. So, for example, there's an annual, the orchestra is still going on, it's called the Occasional Symphony,
mm-hmm.
and our first concert was a Halloween concert, and we did it in like a half-burned, spooky, renovated church that turned into a performance space and put a soundtrack to silent film. We celebrated Dr. Seuss's birthday at a children's museum and did music all about Dr. Seuss. So it sort of has this, people are looking for things to do on holidays, and why not give that to them in the form of music?
Right. Music is such a great place to start for being together and sparking conversation, and I'm sure that you really were successful in that.
Yeah, it was, each show was extremely well attended. The Halloween concert, I think, is still sold out every year, and it's a blast. It sort of set a really good foundation for trying new things and then taking those to the organizations that I work at now.
Mm-hmm. And what instrument did you start playing when you began your music career as a young person?
I started on the trombone, but I'm from Alabama, so the thing to do there is band, and we didn't have any baritones or euphoniums in our band, and so I sort of volunteered to play that, and I studied, so in college and undergrad, I actually studied euphonium, but I just say I play euphonium and trombone.
And were you always thinking you wanted to conduct when you came into your career, when you continued your career?
I did. I went to college sort of with this fascination of conducting. I wanted to be a drum major in high school, but that didn't work out. But in college, around my sophomore year, I decided to take conducting lessons. And really, that's when I fell in love with it and fell in love with the craft and the art of conducting and learning, diving deeper into orchestral music in that sense.
So, just curiously, who are some of your favorite composers maybe some that you played and then others favorite for conducting and so on? I know it's a huge amount of material you can choose from because there's vocal music, instrumental music, orchestral music, you know.
Yep. Well, I sort of have my first love, what my teacher introduced me to in college was Mozart. Mm. So I sort of have a wonderful place for him. And wow, it's hard to choose. I love the French repertoire, Debussy, Ravel, Beethoven, the Germans. But you know what I really find myself coming back to all the time, sort of music that I never really get tired of, and that's the music of Johannes Brahms. Mm. Every time I hear his music, I just, you know, you just feel good.
I've been thinking a lot about how we as artists can help people kind of digest the world right now and some of the challenging times that we are in. And the kind of work you're doing is really an incredible gift to the community.
Well, I think you're right in that art, and I mean, whether it can be visual art, literature, music, it just gives us this haven or something that we can latch on to that can help us actually process and digest what's going on in the real world and sort of make sense of it, or help us cope with loss or filled with joy with whatever celebration. So it's great, and music is really special in that sense.
Right. Yeah, it really is. I was talking to someone else about this the other day, and it's so wonderful because, at least to my mind, sometimes words are pale in comparison to just sounds washing over you, and it feels as though they can really permeate you and can lead people toward feeling, not necessarily any specific feeling, but just in feeling. And that, I think, really helps us soften and, be present, more present than normally. So you've got a concert coming up, I see, and I know by the time this podcast has been posted, you will have had two concerts during the weekend, It's a Wonderful Life and Comfort and Joy, but then you'll also have Ode to Joy, a New Year's celebration on December 30 and 31st. Can you tell us a little bit about those concerts?
Yeah, I can, definitely. We are doing this Ode to Joy, and it's sort of a tradition now that we do this every year. We play Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, and on the first half, we usually have a guest artist of some sort. So I think the opening year, I think it was Pink Martini, and I wasn't here then, but when I was doing research, it was Meow Meow? Meow Meow. Yeah, so we have Meow Meow, and there's always this opening first half. And this year, we are doing a Norman Layden first half. I know Norman is a beloved name in this town and community, and I like that my first name is Norman as well.
I actually, it was funny when I first saw that, and as I told you earlier, I work quite a bit with Norman Layden in the past and miss him terribly. I know our community really feels his loss, or our loss. When I saw your name, Norman, I thought, well, that's good. We'll carry on that tradition.
Carry on the tradition of Norman.
So I see you're going to do quite a few of his big band arrangements.
We are. We're doing some of his big band arrangements, some of his medleys that he wrote for the orchestra. And everyone that I've talked to, and usually you have sort of arrangers who do this breadth of things. And some arrangers are great, some arrangers are okay. But everyone in the orchestra, even Carlos, they say Norman was such an amazing arranger. And so I'm really looking forward to hearing his music and his arrangements. One thing that Carlos's name is on the program, but I sort of helped program the first half, and I did this on purpose just so I could conduct. Mm. And Sousa, John Philip Sousa, wrote a march called From Maine to Oregon.
Oh, for heaven's sake, that's your story.
And Norman Layden arranged it for orchestra. So,
oh, how wonderful.
Isn't that funny? From Maine to Oregon. There's a march called that. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do that. And so of course, Moonlight Serenade. Everyone was like, you have to do Moonlight Serenade.
And right.
It's going to be a great celebration and really to kick off 2017 in hopes that it'll be an excellent year.
Yeah. One of the things, just because I knew Norman fairly well, that I so enjoyed about him was his ability to conduct a beautiful concert, which ran the gamut in terms of programming, but also his way of relating with the audience, which was so warm and delightful. I remember one concert, I believe the Blazers were heading toward the playoffs or something along those lines. And I remember, you know, in between songs, you know, him asking what the score was and, you know, just engaged. It was really fun. And then one very funny story you probably get a kick out of is we were taking bows and he was had turned his back and was facing the orchestra and was walking toward the audience to give the orchestra their due, and the audience was applauding. And Norman fell off the edge of the stage at the Schnitzer.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but he was so agile, and he was this incredible tennis player, and he was like a cat. He fell off. I say the word fall, but it really wasn't. I think he kind of felt what was going to happen, and he had a second to kind of leap off the edge of the stage, and then he jumped right back up. I mean, it was...
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I know. It was absolutely one of those moments I will never forget. And he was just... I mean, the audience adored him, and vice versa, I think. So I just wish you all best in that music. Wow. I'm sure that he'll be watching over you and just glowing.
Yeah. Well, we're definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah, that'll be a wonderful thing for the community, too, because I know so much of the audience will be, you know, completely... will know what you're going to play, and the minute they hear it, it'll feel as though they're back home.
Right, and you know, this is something that we've been thinking a lot is these first half of the these concerts. It you know, we do something different for the first half, but we're also, it's sort of like a mini special that we offer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's our goal really to try to reach. To spread our web as wide as possible. I mean, we like you said, It's a Wonderful Life. We did a video game concert where if you look out in the Schnitz, it's a completely different audience, but they're coming to an Oregon Symphony concert, you know?
Right.
And country western, boys to men, and it's really great that these different audiences are coming to hear the Oregon Symphony and these great guests, and you know, it's really special.
Right, and the Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall is a lovely venue, and there are lots of nice places to have dinner before and have snacks after, so you can really make a wonderful event of it.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any places in Portland that intrigue you about a possible site-specific concert at this point that you visited? I mean, I thought of, you know, the Pittock Mansion or the zoo or, you know, the Portland International Racetrack. I mean, there are all sorts of fun places that would be really cool orchestral venues.
As you're saying these, I'm writing down.
Oh.
Well, I haven't had a chance really to explore venues in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really trying to see different places, but I know the Art Museum looks like a really cool place.
Where's
Armory,
that at?
Actually,
what's it called?
The Art Museum.
Oh gosh, yeah, that's a wonderful spot, and yeah, that's a lovely place.
Yeah, and I mean that just makes sense to pair music with visual art,
which
we are doing with a sound type series, but. The Armory looks like a really cool place.
Mm-hmm.
I saw pictures. I haven't gone to see a show yet, but...
Oh, it's beautiful. Oh, you should see the Irving Berlin show. You'll love it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's playing. I know Hershey Felder is here for another 4 weeks, so he's got the Irving Berlin show, and then I also think there's a special New Year's concert, but I think you'll be busy on that night. And then, oh my goodness, don't miss The Pianist at Willesden Lane, which will be there in the spring. It is absolutely breathtaking, and it's... Mona Golubek plays, and it's a story of her mother, and it's out of this world. I just interviewed Hershey Felder last week, and so it's all very fresh in my mind. But yes, the Armory is a beautiful, beautiful place to work.
Yeah, that's why I love Portland. It's got everything.
Yes, it really does, you know, and plus we've got the river. When I think about the history of this city as well, I get excited myself for my own work. I'm a resident artist at Artist Repertory Theater, and I work all over the place, but I think about how much fun it is to try. It's like being a detective to find a story that could be represented in music or in theater, and then find a unique place to tell the story. Art is so inextricably, I can't say that word, but you know what I mean. That word.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I don't care.
So linked with history, and it's such a wonderful way to connect young people and of all ages to the story of our city and the story of our country. Yeah. Well, it'll be fun to see what you're up to. Maybe some of our listeners will have some ideas and they can email you at the symphony.
Please. Yes, you can find my email on the on the website.
Great. So what are you finding you're really enjoying in Portland just personally? I'm sure you're very busy at work.
I am busy, but you know, I'm not gonna lie, I'm a huge ramen fan. So
Oh.
I've been going to as many ramen places. I mean, I probably go on average once or twice a week. It's a lot.
Okay, so do you go to Boki Bowl?
Poke Bowl. I've been to Poke Bowl.
I love that place. But what are your favorite spots? Because I personally love ramen myself.
Let's see. The two places that really stick out in my mind, and probably because I live right off of Burnside. I live in that new big black building, the yard that's right across the Burnside Bridge. The
Oh, for heaven's
controversial place is what, yeah, what people,
yes.
it's either the controversial place or some people call it the Death Star or.
When I first saw it, I liked it and I was shouted down by all my nephew and I thought, well, whatever. I just think it looks like a fun place to live because you're just right in the thick of things. You can walk to work, you can walk to every dinner place.
I
I mean,
can.
what a blast.
Well, that's why I got a bike. It's so convenient. Go over Hawthorne and boom. But
Yeah.
the two places that really stick out to me is Marukin, which is right next to Nong's on Ankeny?
Got it.
Ankeny?
Okay, I'm gonna have to look for that one.
Delicious. And Afuri, which is the new place on 7th. It's on the west side. Wait, east side. East
East
side.
side,
On
okay.
7th and I forgot. I don't know my street names yet,
No, no
but
worries. You'll learn it.
some of these words, I don't know how to pronounce them, and so I think when I first got here before I knew better, I said Tigard.
Oh my gosh, I made that same mistake. I'm so
Did you
glad
make
you
the same
said that.
mistake?
I moved up here and I got, oh boy, yeah, a lot of giggles, you know, and
Tigard.
Willamette instead of Willamette.
I said the Will Manette too.
You know, what's kind of interesting, and even your name falls into this category, and I think it's kind of a wonderful thing when you start to learn a new language, and of course, when you move to a new city, there are a lot of names here that are Native American names, and I think, well, cooch and couch, yeah, I mean, you
Yeah.
know,
Ouch, yeah.
and I don't think cooch, I don't think cooch is a Native American name, but if anyone's listening and they know different, please correct me if I'm wrong, but it's all a part of that learning curve, you know, and being respectful
Yeah.
of the past history. So I'm sure there'll be many more that'll come. Yeah.
But that's the fun part of moving to a new place is learning all those, 'cause people are excited to tell you about those kinds of things, you know?
They are, and I think that's so nice. I think it's nice when, I mean, when I first moved here, I've been here for coming on 29 years, so quite a while, but
Oh,
it's
nice.
when people are warm about mistakes as opposed to pointing them out in a way that make you feel like a dork, you know?
Right.
It's nice. Then you can kind of, they can share with you their story of the town.
Yeah, and then they'll tell you all the other mostly mistaken names as well. That way you
Right.
don't mess it up.
Right. That's great. Oh. So ramen, any sport that you're enjoying, or have you gone to a Blazer game or gone to a
I
Timbers
haven't,
game?
not yet. I got here sort of, I think, right as the Timbers were finishing the season. So I'll have to wait because I'm not a huge soccer fan. I mostly follow college football, but and I don't really follow the NBA. But I've been to a couple of games before, so mm-hmm. I'll need to go see a Players' game. That'll be a lot of fun.
Golly, you can walk to it from your house.
I can see it from my apartment.
Have you taken the Max yet?
The Max, yes, I have.
You like it?
And it's so convenient, especially from the airport.
Mm-hmm.
It's really nice. And it's great that the app, the TriMet app,
mm-hmm.
you can just activate it right before you go on, and boom.
You're set.
I think I have like 5 tickets stored in my phone. It's great.
Yeah, me too. Especially helpful in this wacky weather.
Right? You know, when I was in Maine, we would have a blizzard that would get like 12 to 24 inches was the prediction, you know? And I would always see on the news, like Atlanta, when they have a 2 inches, everything sort of shuts down or something. But now I totally get it because there are not many plows or salt being put on the road. In mm-hmm. Maine, it's going 24/7. People are always plowing the roads and you always have a nice path. But here, in my apartment, I have a view of I-5.
Mm-hmm.
And so I could see where there are trucks and cars getting stuck over the ramp.
Mm-hmm.
So I had the view of the empty I-5 and then the completely packed I-5. It was really kind of strange, but...
I'm going to have to keep your phone number so that I can call you if I ever get stuck in traffic.
Look, I can give you... I have a bird's eye view. But I thought I was escaping the winter. I was like, yes, no snow. I'm going to be in a place with mild winter. But... It was 28 degrees or something the other day. It was great.
Yep. All bets are off.
Good thing I have gear for that. I have great snow boots and all that stuff.
Well, that's great. Well, welcome to Portland, Norman, and we're really excited to have you here. And I'm really looking forward to meeting you in person. And I hope that everybody who's listening will check out what you're doing at the Oregon Symphony. There's so many wonderful things happening over there. And then also look at your bio and maybe even send a recommendation for a great ramen spot.
Great ramen spot or great concert venue.
Yeah, perfect. Maybe, wait a minute. Ramen concert venue. Now we're talking.
Ooh, where you can have ramen and hear classical music?
Noodle concert.
You know, there's some people do coffee concerts. I think Bost wrote a Bach aria. Yeah. Or a coffee aria.
Wait a minute now. This is Coffee City, so wow. And
Coffee City, yeah. We should do that.
There you go.
There we go. See, this is why I like talking to creative people.
Yeah, it's fun, isn't
it? Ideas
fly. Yes. Well, have a wonderful day.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
Right.
Bye, Take Norman.
Care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.